All right, so we've had a number of guests, so we're having another special guest come on. She was on the keynote stage.
I was.
That chair, you kind of like fell back into it.
It was a little bit deeper than I expected
oh,
it to be.
Goodness.
Well, I should be used to this because this is similar to the couch that I have at home.
Oh, is it? So yeah. You feel like you're at home?
A little bit, not quite yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have a really awesome New York-y type background.
Yeah.
I feel like we're on a talk show or something.
That would seem like what it's kind of like, yes.
Amanda, it's so good to have you here. How was it like? What was it like getting ready for the keynote?
Oh, it was actually months and months and months of preparation because it started months back. We were trying to think about, you know, everything that we wanted to talk about for Connect because it's kind of one of our big events for the year.
Right.
And there was just so much that we were working on that was really exciting. That we were hoping to be able to talk about. But there's always that, you know, glimmer in the back of your mind. You don't know if it's actually going to be ready
right.
at the moment that it actually needs to be ready.
I was so excited for this event. I bought a new shirt, wore clean underwear. I mean, I'm pretty stoked about all this.
You're a little tired, huh?
No, I'm good. I have a Red Bull behind here. Nobody can see it. So tell us some of the announcements that you made, some of the cool stuff that you want developers to know about.
Well, I mean, today I talked about a whole bunch of different stuff. Mostly my team works on apps for developers building apps for clients. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, either an iOS, an Android, or a Windows application, or a web-based application. And so really what I was focused on was basically tools that help developers build mobile applications.
Uh-huh.
Kevin talked a lot about the tools for Windows developers, mm-hmm. But mostly my demo kind of focused on tools for iOS and Android developers. And so with the latest version of Xamarin, they really worked on making sure that the connection to the OS X box that basically does the build and
right.
the rendering of the storyboard is really reliable and robust and that you can connect multiple Visual Studio instances. And on the Cordova side of the house, we had a whole bunch of different things, like we have a brand new template from SAP that allows
yeah.
you to target the Fiori platform. We talked about the Code Push service that
mm-hmm.
basically allows you to update JavaScript and TypeScript-based apps without having to go through the store.
Oh.
And then also, this is one of the things that we've been working on for a long time, is the Intune MAM SDK, which basically allows you to apply policy for apps in a decoupled way, so that all you have to do, really, is just include the SDK in your app, and then an IT manager or a developer can manage the policy for that app, even if the app is going to be deployed with another MDM provider like AirWatch or Iron Mobile or something else.
Now, I have tons of questions about all of those things, but we want to get to our audience questions.
Sure.
This is a really good one from Dimitri. When should I use C# Xamarin, and when should I use Cordova, Apache Cordova, for mobile apps? How do you make the distinction?
So, I mean, you know, in some ways, it depends on the background of your development team.
Right.
Some development teams are very, very .NET focused, and so they want a .NET-based solution. And for those development teams, yes, Xamarin is going to be, you know, probably the most comfortable solution.
Right.
For those who are very familiar with building web clients, then yes, Cordova is probably going to be the most familiar. Now, beyond that, what we're seeing is that, you know, for folks who want to have the native look and feel and really compete with apps that are in the public store,
mm-hmm.
they want to be able, you know, make an app that is current with the latest design guidelines and, you know, really pushes the boundaries on performance and things like that. And you can do that with the Xamarin tools
mm-hmm.
Because you can actually use the native UI stack from iOS and Android with Xamarin. So basically, the logic for your application is authored with C# and .NET, but then the UI for your application is still using XIB and the AXML from Android. So you really get the native capability with Xamarin. For Cordova, you know, you really are basically using web technologies, including HTML, and for the UI layer. And so, you know, if what you're looking for is, hey, I want to reuse this web framework that I'm very, very comfortable with, then yes, Cordova would probably be the best solution.
All right, so I think this brings us to the next question. They almost queued them up in the right order. Are there any issues with Cordova on performance and threading, though? Is there really going to be a performance hit if you're using Apache Cordova? Or is it kind of app that sort of dictates if you're going to have performance problems?
So with the web platform, the modern web platform, and all of the web platforms that basically run on all of the modern devices now, support essentially multi-threading, where the UI of the app can actually run on one thread, and you can have something like a service worker or other things like that actually run on another background thread.
I see.
So the idea that you can't do multi-threading, just factually not true.
I see.
The other thing that has evolved in the last couple of years is there used to be a restriction on JavaScript-based apps that the JavaScript that was running in your application would not be able to be JITted, or basically compiled down to machine code.
I see.
And that really has gone away with the latest versions of the operating systems. And you know, Windows, Android, and iOS all JIT the JavaScript code.
I see. So
your JavaScript isn't bound by any other upper limits of its capabilities. And so with that, beyond that, it really kind of just depends on the capability of the developer to actually build a performant app. But there's nothing inherent in the operating system that's preventing Cordova from being successful.
So now it's just like a culture issue of, is your dev department full of web devs or C# devs, and then you just choose accordingly?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a way it also depends on kind of what kinds of capabilities your app needs to have. So if you really want to showcase native capabilities in Android or iOS, then Xamarin is probably the best approach, because you can access the native UI stack. If your objective is to really just kind of keep costs down and make sure that your app can run across the three different operating systems, then Cordova would probably be a good choice.
Very good. All right, so here's a question from Raj. What is your support for SQLite as a local database using Cordova? Can you do SQLite with Apache Cordova?
Yeah, there is a SQLite plugin
from
the community that you can use for Apache Cordova. Yeah.
So let's talk about this whole plugin thing for Apache Cordova. Tell me about that a little bit more.
So basically, plugins are the way, so if you think about Cordova, what Cordova is it's a standard, standardized way, or an open source project that allows you to have web-based technologies for your application. So I can have an app that's written with JavaScript, HTML, and CSS,
mm-hmm.
but the Cordova app doesn't run inside of a browser. So it's not constrained by the capabilities of a browser. It's a full app. You can access native APIs.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you access native APIs is through these plugins.
I see.
So the plugins are basically a way that you can access whatever is the native API on each of the operating systems. So let's take geolocation as an example.
Mm-hmm.
It's supported on iOS, Android, and Windows.
Right.
But the way that you call it on iOS, Android, and
Windows is different.
And so what the plugin does is it basically abstracts that away from you as the JavaScript developer. So that when you're writing for iOS, Android, and Windows, it all looks the same. It all looks like a single JavaScript API. But really, what the plugin is doing is it's mapping your call down to the appropriate native call for iOS, Android, and Windows.
So if there's a question of, can I use Foo in Apache Cordova, it's a question of looking for the plugin.
Yeah, and if the plugin can't be found, you can always author it yourself.
That's awesome. All right, another question. If I have a web application, what is the best way to convert it to a mobile app?
It's a great question. So, a lot of times when folks talk about that, you don't necessarily know what kind of web application, because there are different eras of web applications.
Mm-hmm.
There are those that are basically just kind of like static clients that are connecting to data and presenting that data. And then there are those that are more like single-page applications,
mm-hmm.
where the fragment is described, and then I can do all kinds of navigation. In addition to that, web applications that have been optimized for mobile form factors. So they are responsive to touch, they look good on a small form factor.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of depends on where you are, what kind of web application you're starting from. In terms of a web application that starts from a, you know, static kind of environment, or basically it's primarily a server oriented mm-hmm. web application, there is a model for Cordova called a hosted web application, where you can basically just take that application and just run it in a Cordova container. Now, most of your content is still going to be served up from the server side, and so it might not give you the best, you know, offline experience. If you have to do something like authentication, that's not going to be built in. But in terms of, you know, giving you an app experience that could be installed in the store and just serve up content, you could start with something as simple as that.
There was an interesting SAP Fiori thing that does something like that, and then it also goes to the next level and makes it a full client thing as well.
Yeah, so what the SAP Fiori project does is it also does a certain amount of caching. So it takes this hosted model, and it actually takes the content that's being served up from the server, and then it caches it locally on the device, so that if, for example, I'm trying to launch the app without being connected, I don't necessarily always need to hit that server to get the content.
That's cool. All right, some more questions. If I, we already did that one. Is Microsoft offering a holistic, it's like offering is in there twice. So is Microsoft offering a holistic offering on mobile app dev platform covering not just development, but DevOps monitoring and more?
It's a good question. I think we are.
Yeah.
So when I think about mobile, I don't just think about the tools that are coming out from Visual Studio.
Right.
I certainly also think about the entire DevOps lifecycle.
Sure.
So that includes some of the stuff that Donovan demoed today, that my team also helped to contribute, which are things like being able to kick off continuous build, continuous deployment, take that, the result of a build, run it through tests, then take the results of those tests, and once there's some kind of acceptance pass, actually deploy it to beta users using Hockey App.
Wow.
And so, you know, with Visual Studio and Visual Studio Online, I think we have Visual Studio Team Services.
Yes, we teach.
Thank you very much. I think we have a good experience for both constructing the app as well as the mobile DevOps lifecycle. But that's not all you really need to build a comprehensive mobile application.
Right.
You also need the back-end services. So that's where the Azure mobile apps come in as well, which allow you to do authentication, offline storage, push notifications, things like that. And then in addition to that, the EMS suite, so the Enterprise Mobility Suite, of which Intune is a part, and I talked about the new Intune MAM SDK today, that really allows you to enforce policy, security, things like that on the mobile apps that you're building.
So there was two things I wanted to get back to that you talked about. The first is you talked about a way of updating your mobile applications that use Apache Cordova without having to go through the store. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so one of the services that we announced today is that we're making available for a public beta is called CodePush.
Mm-hmm.
And what this allows you to do is to basically update apps, really any kind of update, but probably mostly going to be used for things that are like small tweaks that you want to make or small functional additions to your application. And then once you push this out, you can actually push it out to users of your app without having to go through the store. Now, this is something that you can do with JavaScript-based applications, and obviously TypeScript-based applications are also JavaScript-based applications. So apps that are based on top of Cordova, you can do this. If you've built an app on top of even React Native, you can also use this code push service.
And what does it do? Where do you put the code so that I can actually push it out?
That's a great question. So there's basically just a service that we have that's hosted in Azure,
mm-hmm.
And then there is a command line interface to that service. And so what you do is you use the code push plugin in your Cordova app. And then that basically gets a client ID, like a GUID.
It's
basically an app ID. And then based on that app ID, you register with our service, and then you can register, hey, I have an update that I want to ship out. And so we have both of your apps hosted in the service. Once you make this update available, then we basically just offer a service that says, hey, an update is available, and you as a developer can respond to it however you want. You know, in the demo that I showed, I responded to it in two ways. One was I checked if there was an update on every time I launched a new instance of the app, or I could also manually check for it. But I could also do something like force updates or something like that I chose to do that. You obviously would want to kind of like stay within the boundaries of your user expectations. Right. So you don't want to just change the app out from under them without giving them some kind of a heads up.
And the other question was Intune. And that's part of the Enterprise Mobility Suite. Did I get that right?
Yep.
What is it that you can actually configure on Intune for your apps? Because it's a good, you talked a little broadly about it and how it's managed.
Yeah, so I didn't really get to go into this too much in the demo because there was just so much that we had to talk about. But really what you can do is you can decouple the policy that you want to apply for your mobile application from the application itself. So typically when you have a mobile application that you're deploying in an enterprise environment, you might use some kind of mobile device management service. Intune is one of those, Iron Mobile is another, AirWatch is another, that basically manages the devices that are in your enterprise. And what that does is it manages things like, for example, we're Microsoft employees, when you log into Exchange, it requires that we need to sign in with a PIN, right? And enforces that policy. So there could be other applications that you're using that could enforce global policies for the device. And that's called mobile device management.
I see.
Now there's another category of mobile management, which is mobile application management. So you might want to apply another set of policies based on what apps you have installed on that device. And so in this kind of case, if you have, for example, this doctor's app installed, you might have sensitive patient information on that application. And so if you've installed that app and you're accessing sensitive patient information, we also want to be able to do things like remotely wipe that data or require that you have a PIN when you log into the app.
Sure.
Or do things like require that all of the data that's stored locally is encrypted.
Right.
And so you can do that with this MAM SDK. The cool thing about it is you don't actually have to add any code. So all you do is just include this SDK in your app, and then you can go to the Intune management portal and then set all of that policy remotely.
One of the cool things I read also with Intune is you can even manage whether they can cut and paste or cut and copy.
Exactly, that's right.
And so that's pretty cool because if you have sensitive information, specifically, you don't want someone to just be like, oh, I know this person, I'm going to copy this data and put it in an email.
Right.
It just won't let you.
Right, exactly.
Awesome. Here's some more questions. What tools are available for testing mobile applications?
Well, I mean, so we talked about a bunch of them today. So we did this thing where we interviewed about 400 mobile developers over the past summer to figure out, you know, what are the most, the biggest pain points that people have in mobile development? And we found a whole bunch of different kinds of things, but testing was definitely an acute area that a lot of mobile developers were feeling. So we interviewed one guy, and I thought he really made an impression on me because I think he really talked about his test strategy in a kind of evolved way.
I see.
For him, what he said was, look, for the core capabilities of the application, the functional aspects of the application, you just do unit testing. Like, it's just basically just checking to see if the core functional capabilities are robust and work. For the UI portions of it, there's a lot of testing and validation that you can done through a virtualized approach. Mm-hmm. So basically an emulator that's hosted in a cloud or hosted on your local machine. So we have the Visual Studio emulator for Android that allows you to do that kind of thing.
Which now works on a Mac as
Yeah, we also just announced that we're working on bringing that to the Mac as well. Now, that takes you to the next mile. But the next thing that you have to do is basically do device validation. And for that, solutions like the Perfecto Mobile solution that Donovan demoed, Xamarin's Test Cloud, allows you to do things like test on a device without having to buy and own all of those devices.
Right.
You can just subscribe to a service and then get the results of those tests in VSO. But really, nothing is better than actually putting it out there in the wild and getting feedback from your users as well. So in a way, test is an important aspect of this, but another important aspect of it is actually getting telemetry information from your app running in the wild. And that's where services like Hockey App and Application Insights can really help.
It's really cool to see the Visual Studio Team Services sort of wrap that all together, because it's really cool to see you actually build iOS applications from there.
It's really, so
where can people go to find out more? Where can they go to learn about the distinction between Xamarin and maybe using Apache Cordova?
Yeah, so definitely a great place to check out is the Visual Studio blog. We post there all the time on both showcase applications that have been written using these tools, as well as, you know, guidance and patterns and practices, and a whole bunch of opportunities to interact with the team and ask us questions directly. But it's also the place where we make all of our new announcements. So, you know, if you're looking for things that that we're bringing to make mobile development easier, that's definitely the place to look.
Well, awesome. If you're not thinking about mobile development, you should be. Thanks so much for all your good work.
We're
going to send you off to the side. Thanks for being with us. We have a couple of guests coming up.
Thanks.
So we'll send you off. And there's a couple of cool guests coming up. There has been some really neat announcements around Visual Studio Code. And so we're going to have some guests on. So please get your questions rolling. All right.